grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We always appreciate you spending your time and energy with us. You are here on It's a Family Affair, and today's show, the show title is Mommy, Why Is Your Skin So Brown? And we are here with Maria Olson, who is the writer of this topic. She's a mother of biracial children, and so we're here to open up this conversation and shed some light on some things that are still very, very valid and still going on in what we consider to be post-racial America. So I am so happy to be with you here today, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. So Maria and I first met in Teotihuacan about 3 years ago. Has it been 3 years, Maria?
Yes, it has.
Yes, yes, on a spiritual journey with Don Miguel Ruiz. And so I'm very proud to see her doing what she's doing now, and she's really stepped out. So tell us a little bit about that story and what brought you to that retreat and what brought you to share this story and write this book.
Well, my children, who are now 18 and 21, are much lighter skinned than I am. And I am actually half Filipina and half Irish American. Most people think I'm Latina, and I get spoken to in Spanish at least once a week, but I luckily speak Spanish that I learned in school, so I can respond. And wherever I go in the world where the people are darker skinned, they tend to assume I'm from their country, which is both fun and sometimes leads to interesting situations. In any event, my children are lighter skinned, and I had so many experiences when they were little where strangers assumed that I was their nanny. Even the dentist assumed I was the nanny, the gymboree teacher. It just kept happening. So I actually started with a news article, feature article that I called Being a Parent Isn't Always a Parent, A-P-P-E-R-E-N-T.
Yes.
And it was all about assumptions people make based on skin color. And in interviewing my various friends who are in similar situations, their experiences made mine pale by comparison. For instance, I have an African-American friend who is a prosecutor in D.C. His two white children look very white. And when he was taking them from the playground as toddlers and they didn't want to get in the car, somebody called the police saying, this black man is trying to steal these white kids from the park.
So my goodness.
Part of my journey in my writings about mixed race has to do with sort of consciousness raising, and also is a cathartic exercise for me, because when I feel that I have been wronged via these assumptions, I can always find someone who can tell a story that's even more harmful. Then my children started to ask me, Mommy, why is your skin so brown and ours isn't? And so I wrote the children's book as a way to talk to them about why people keep questioning whether I'm their parent or not. Because at some point it started to, I believe, become harmful to them. And I also wanted people around me to know that they shouldn't just make assumptions. The funniest thing that happened to me was I was pushing my son in the stroller around our all-white neighborhood, save for the domestic workers who were all dark-skinned. Mostly Filipina caregivers and South American or Central American housekeepers. And one of the Filipina nannies came up to me and said, oh, he's so cute. Are you Livin? And I turned to her and said, yes, and I'm sleeping with the father because I had just had enough of people making these comments to me. And
just
so
make it
the
a
nannies,
scandal, right?
Yes, they scatter when they see me and point and whisper.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm also working on an adult nonfiction book, which is going to be called Not the Cleaver Family, How Modern mm-hmm. Typical American Families Have Changed So Much in This Decade. And so I continue to explore this because it is an experience I live with every day, as do you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So, you know, this is the whole reason we started the show initially. It's like, you know, it is a family affair, and it is changing. And the more I do research, I realize we really aren't that bad. I mean, in old times, in war, you know, husbands had to take on new wives, or husbands died. And so somewhere along the way, I think definitely, I'm not sure where it happened, where we got this traditional family schematic. Because a lot of times you had multi-generational family, but definitely the interracial families is something that we're seeing a lot in. We've always called and referred to America as a melting pot. So it always blows my mind when I hear stories like you're saying, where people are still so presumptuous based on the skin color.
And even
and
one
done all sorts of studies.
Yes, and even one generation ago, my parents were forbidden to marry in the my home state of Maryland in 1961 mm-hmm. because they were of two races. It wasn't until 1967 that those mixed-race marriage prohibitions were deemed unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. It had been the law in 17 states.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they
totally
had to go to a different state.
Yes, and I don't think people really realize how recent it was. This is
exactly
very, very recent. So it's so, so important that, you know, we're continuing to share these stories. So tell us, I mean, we got to go on a break real quick, but I want you to tell us a little bit, like, where your kids are now, like right now, you know, how they feel about it now.
Well, my daughter has become very socially aware. She actually is in a group at Northwestern University called Mixed, and it is a club for people of mixed ancestry or who are interested in issues important to those of mixed race. And I'm so proud of how much work they have done at Northwestern to kind of pierce the bubble of complacency among the predominantly white student body there. And they host speakers and festivals and celebrate their uniqueness in a safe, non-judgmental place. And she is currently in South Africa working on a documentary television show called Against All Odds, where the history of apartheid still lingers and affects so much that goes on there. And she is helping to bring to light some amazing things that the African-American population, South African population, is doing there against the odds of what has been placed in their way.
Oh, that is beautiful.
I'm so proud of her. My son is pursuing an acting career. He has kind of that ethnically ambiguous look now that is, I think, going to serve him well in acting because he can play a lot of different races. I don't know if you've covered cultural appropriation in your show, but they are doing West Side Story next month, and it caused quite an uproar because they don't have any Puerto Rican students at their school. And right. So the administration is committed to increasing diversity there, but some people thought it was cultural appropriation or misappropriation to represent themselves as Puerto Ricans on even on stage, which I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around because in terms of art, you inhabit other characters. But in any event, what I'm trying to say is both my children are very involved and conversant with the mixed race experience in America, yes. and yes. Work in their own ways to dispel what they believe are assumptions, just
yes,
like I believe
so
I'm doing.
Beautiful. Yes, that's so beautiful that you've instilled it with them. So you guys, you're with It's a Family Affair, and you're here listening to Maria Olson. And we're discussing biracial families, and we're going to get a little bit more into her book, Mommy, Why Is Your Skin So Brown, when we come back. And we're also going to have her share a little bit about how she taught her children about diversity and how now they are so engaged in the community. So when we come back, we're going to touch base on some of these other things. See you soon.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
We want to welcome you with open arms to our family, to our tribe. We know that there are many ups and downs with family. Raquel Benavides' Facebook page, It's a Family Affair, offers encouragement, laughter, and solid advice as we all go through this process we call family. Come hang out. Share your story.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You're here with Raquel, and you're listening to It's a Family Affair. We have our wonderful guest, Maria Olson, and we're here talking about biracial families and biracial children, how we raise them, how we impact them, how society looks at them, and all the different aspects with Maria. So we were just talking about, and Maria was sharing with us about her engagement with her kids and how her kids have now become very community-oriented and addressing some of these things within their community. So, Maria, share with us how you transmitted this to your children, like the okayness of it all, because I think that's so important.
That's such an important point, because when my mother came to this country in the 60s, the race riots were going on in D.C., and the no-colored signs sometimes applied to her and sometimes didn't. Because the history of racism in our country has always been more severe against African Americans for whatever reason. In any event, my mother wanted me so badly to be American. In her mind, that meant not teaching me her language, not teaching me her culture in food, in history, none of that. And I was determined not to repeat that mistake. I feel like I lost out on a huge gift. And when children are young, at least when I was growing up, everybody wanted to be the same. No one wanted to stick out. And so I didn't fight her on it. I bristled when people made jokes about my skin color. My schooling happened to be in all white schools for many years. And people would make fun of me or say, make race jokes for some reason. And I still remember feeling so horrible when some kid started the freckle club in third grade and I was the only kid in the whole class without freckles. It took me until my later teens and early 20s to really embrace my unique heritage. And when I went to the Philippines, I felt so out of place because I didn't speak the language. And I really wanted my kids to learn about both sides of the family. And my ex-husband is their father, my children's father, is predominantly of Danish ancestry. So we went to Denmark, and at International Day at School, we hosted a table on
on Denmark. And people kept looking at me with disbelief in their eyes about, you are from Denmark? I said, yeah, well, my daughter has two parents, and our last name is Olsen, yes.
Right.
So we also did tables other years for the Philippines. And my kids were curious, and they want to know the family history. And so my attitude was always to expose them to as much cultural diversity as possible. And my daughter, I'm proud to say, has just started dancing with the Tinikling, which is a form of Filipino dance, group at Northwestern University. And she's very proud of her ancestry, dual that it is. And she's growing up in a way, a place that's so much more, a world that's so much more accepting of diversity than when I was growing up. And I'm so grateful for that.
It is. And, you know, the thing that I'm really taking away in hearing you speak and share the different facets of your family, come back to me for self-acceptance. It's like, you know, people that are challenged by your skin color or the color of your kids, they're really also are creating the Freckle Club. They're trying to create a space where they're accepted, right? And
true,
so I
true.
Think as humans, we're always trying to kind of find this space that we fit in because we don't fully accept ourselves. So we kind of reflect against each other and saying, well, if they like me or I'm like them, then I must have value, you know? So this is really important for us. And I'm so, you know, my children, my daughter is biracial, and I have nieces and nephews that are biracial. And one of my older nieces is half Spanish, half African-American, and she grew up with predominantly her African-American side, right? And so she always questioned, why are you all so dark and I'm so light? You know, I don't know. I felt, and so she felt awkward. And then she came with us, and she's like, oh, y'all are the same color as me. So then she also fit in. And it's so interesting how we seek that. But with more people like yourself, and again, I'm always like praising, I love our show because we're regular people doing big, big things. And it's so important for you to know that and for me to encourage you to keep doing those fabulous things. And I'm so excited that I can create this platform for you to share your story. And I just want to say thank you for being brave enough to share it. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, it took self-acceptance for me to be able to relish this in my life. And for so many years, I faced the question, what are you? Or where are you from? Knowing that they didn't mean Washington, D.C. In fact, when I traveled to Nepal 2 years ago, I lived there for a month doing some volunteer work, and the people there would say, where are you from? And I'd say, the United States. And they would say, no. And they wouldn't let me go until I said, okay, my mother's from the Philippines. And they would say, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because
until you gave a race, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, as you were saying, we strive to categorize to make sense of our world. And it's not necessarily good, but it's something that we do. It's part of human nature to try to make sense of the world via categorization or other things. And also the aspect of how people are naturally drawn to those who are like them or something they have in common with
amazing?
Someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
They say when people walk into a room, within 2 to 3 seconds, they've sized up who they will talk to and who's like them. Their brain is that fast in their fight or flight and sizing up their tribe. And that I
their
read
tribe,
that and
that's
it
right.
blew my mind because it's their tribe. Their brain sees it as their tribe. Still in our modern day world, our biological brain has not totally moved past to sizing up who is like us. Who can I count
that's
on?
That's really
they're
interesting.
In my tribe. That
yes,
is
and I.
Yes,
you had alluded or mentioned earlier how we met at Teotihuacan on a spiritual retreat, and part of my spiritual journey has brought me to a place where I grew up as a people pleaser. So I used to walk into a room and try to make everyone like me and hope they would all like me. But now I walk into a room and I look for people that I might like, which is a huge. a huge shift, a sea change in my very being, that I am no longer trying to please everyone else. I'm searching for people who enrich my life and who help me be the best version of me that I can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, if anyone's listening to this show now, I really want to, you know, I'm always trying to find ways. You know, we have these conversations, but I still find myself using the same terms, traditional family, non-traditional family, biracial children, and I even irritate myself.
Yes.
Because I'm still describing us, right? I'm still identifying us, and I'm still using it, and I'm trying to break the cycle. So I really want to, like, our listeners to help us, to help change, so that we're identifying our children as children. They're children, and we are people. We are the human race, and we've just really got to take every intent we have to make this shift and be open-hearted and be open-minded to one another and do our best to adjust these prejudices we have, these prejudgments we have about one another. So, Maria, tell us a little bit about where people, you know, they can find out more about you. I know you're at this great event called A Mixed Remixed, which I was looking up online, and I thought, oh, my God, that's fabulous event
to
be a part of.
It's a fantastic free festival in Los Angeles at the Japanese American Museum, June 10th and 11th. It's the Mixed Remixed Festival in its third year, and it brings together people of all races, creeds, and genders to celebrate what it means to be mixed, multiracial, or part of a blended family. And I'll be speaking on the 10th there. They showcase films, books, live performances, speaking panels, writing and acting workshops. It's just an amazing group of people. So I encourage anyone in the LA area to try to come out for that. I have a Facebook page for my book, Mommy, Why Is Your Skin So Brown, which I hope can also continue the dialogue among people of mixed ancestry to talk about our experiences and maybe come up with a new lexicon, as you were suggesting, of how to describe all of us and our various tribes or non-tribes. Because we all have stories. We all have stories, every one of us. And they need to be heard. The dialogue needs to continue until it's normalized.
Absolutely. And that's just the thing. It's like we are the normalization. We just don't accept ourselves. We're still putting ourselves outside the box. So I love the mixed remix idea. I think that's so cool that someone was, brave enough to do that. And it's all about opening up the conversation. So you guys, thank you for being with us. Maria, thank you for being with us and sharing your great stories. And continue to be courageous, girl. Continue to put yourself out there and encourage your kids to do the same thing. And all of our listeners, pay attention, to what we're saying, to what we're doing, to how we're identifying ourselves. And let's make a difference, because we're here on It's a Family Affair, and we're real people talking about real family and how we can make it the
best
and enjoy ourselves. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maria.
Much gratitude and appreciation for sharing this time with us today on It's a Family Affair with Raquel. Take time this week to fill your own family in love and acceptance, and remember to take care of you. You can't give what you don't have. If you'd like to connect with Raquel, just reach out on It's a Family Affair Facebook page. Until next week, much love always. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.